Amen. And while the grown-ups are being seated, we invite children of all ages to come forward for just a moment. We just heard another story that Jesus told his disciples. We call Jesus' stories parables. And that story that we just heard made me think of another story that happened to me. Last year in December, I went to visit a school. It was an elementary school, and some of the teenagers, some of the youth from my church went to that school every single Tuesday, and they would go and help the kids there to read, and they'd play with them, and they'd teach them their letters and their colors and teach them music, and those teenagers were there every single Tuesday. And so one day in December, I decided to go see what it was all about. I wanted to see what those teenagers were doing. And so I showed up, and it just so happened that on that day, all of the teachers at the school had put together presents for all the volunteers. So they had a present for every teenager that volunteered and all the adults who went with them. And I got a present too. I got this wonderful, it could be for coffee, but maybe hot chocolate would be more to your taste, right? It's got Christmas ornaments on it. It's beautiful. And at first I thought, well, I don't deserve this because I haven't been coming every week like everybody else has. I just showed up today and I get a present. And the woman who was handing them out said, of course you get a present. We have plenty to go around and we're just so glad that you came today. And that's kind of like the story that Jesus just told, that God has so much love, so much to give us. It doesn't matter if we showed up at the beginning or if we showed up at the end. God wants to give each and every one of us God's love and grace. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we thank you so much for how much you love us and you love everybody. Help us to be as kind and generous as you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. You can go back to your seats with your parents, grandparents, or friends you came with. So this is a wonderful story about God's grace. But of all Jesus' parables, I think it is perhaps the one I dislike the most. I find this one really hard to take. I mean, all of Jesus' parables have some sort of shock element to them. Many of them sort of turn at the end and surprise us, like the Good Samaritan. Jesus' audience would have never thought that the hero of that story would be a Samaritan. Or the story about the shepherd who leaves behind 99 sheep to follow one? That's not very good shepherding practice. What's that about? And I think sometimes Jesus puts those things in his parables to grab our attention and to make us think about things in a different way. And this parable has a terrible shock element to it. We hear this story about these workers who were hired to work in a vineyard. There were some who were hired at the beginning of the day and they worked hard for 12 hours, and then others who only worked an hour. And when the time came for them to be paid, they were all paid the same. And to add to the element of shock, the way Jesus tells the story, the landowner lines the workers up from the last hired to the first. So the ones who were hired first are watching. And they're seeing all these others being paid the same amount, and they think they're going to get more, or their expectations are raised, and then they get paid the same amount as those who've only worked an hour. I read this parable, and I want to shout, "That's not fair!" And I think that's exactly the response Jesus is going for. He knows his audience. He's talking to insiders with this parable. He is talking to his disciples, not just the 12, but others who have been following him. But these are folks who have given up a lot to stay close to Jesus and to follow him and to live as he wants them to live. In fact, the disciple Peter had just said, "Hey, Jesus, we've given up all this stuff to follow you." And Jesus says, "Yes, that's wonderful. You will be rewarded, but here's a parable." And as someone in Bible study this week said, it's like Jesus says, "But don't get the big head, because now I'm getting ready to tell you a story." I think Jesus wants us to identify with those who were hired first and to come to the end of this parable and say, "That's not fair," because he's inviting us to examine what's underneath that attitude of "that's not fair." So I want to dig into that just a little bit. And to do that, I want to look at what these first hired workers say to the landowner when they find out they're being paid the exact same amount as those who were hired last. They say to him, "You have made them equal to us." Now, I know we all believe in the grace of God that is for all people. We all believe and proclaim that God loves everybody unconditionally. I believe that. I say it every week. I know it in theory. But goodness gracious, I hope I have a little bit of extra favor with God. I mean, you know, you and I got out of bed this morning and came to church. We had all sorts of other choices. We could have, well, I didn't really have a choice, but you had a choice. You could have stayed in bed. You could have gone to Starbucks. You could have done many things. But you made the effort to be here in church to worship. And we make the effort to pray and to give and to work for social justice and to do all these things for God that we know God wants us to do. And are you telling me, Jesus, that that person who sleeps in every Sunday morning, that person who is mean-spirited and bullies everybody in the office, or that person who is stingy with her money is loved just as much by God as I am? Doesn't all this effort I'm making make a difference to you, God? Don't you like me just a little bit more? I think this parable stirs up those feelings and those questions in us. And it might even lead us to say, well, if all this effort I'm making doesn't make God love me more, then what's the point? If I'm not somehow earning points in heaven for all this getting up early and praying and giving, and then what's the point? Which brings me to the second protest that these workers make to the landowner. "We have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." You have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. Is that what life with God feels like for us? Burden and scorching heat? Is it really that much drudgery and sacrifice for us to be in relationship with the God who loves us and covers us with grace? I think these workers had gotten all caught up in what they deserved and how hard they had worked, and they deserved to be rewarded for that, rather than thinking about how grateful they were to have known from the very beginning of the day that they had a place to belong and good work to do, and that at the end of the day they would be given what they needed. Maybe it would help us, if we find ourselves struggling with that attitude, to think about what it was like to still be standing at 5 o'clock in the afternoon with no work. Last Sunday, Susan Brown did our ministry moment, and she was talking about our Room in the Inn ministry. And every Wednesday night, we have 12 homeless gentlemen who stay the night at our church. And I learned this week that early on Thursday morning, they are loading the church bus and going back downtown, most of them, so that they can get to the labor pool. So they can go and be in a place where contractors and others can come and hire them for the day. Imagine what it's like to stand there, and 9 o'clock comes, and noon comes, and you don't have any money to buy lunch, and 3 o'clock comes, and 5 o'clock comes, and you haven't been hired, and you have no way to feed your family. You live with that anxiety all day long, and as the clock ticks, the anxiety grows. what a blessing and a gift it is for those who have known early on they have a place to belong and they are provided for by the love and grace of God. We've just celebrated the baptism of these two beautiful children. And our job as a church is to tell them from day one that they are loved, that they belong, that God has a meaning and a purpose for their lives, and there's nothing they can do that will ever separate them from the love of God. What a gift and a grace to be born into that love and to know it from the very beginning. And what about those who don't have that experience? Who didn't have a church that told them that, or who don't have a place where they are loved and accepted just as they are? Perhaps this parable can invite us into greater compassion for those who are waiting because no one has hired them yet. So maybe you and I could rewrite this parable or the ending of it. Perhaps those workers are lined up. And as the workers who were hired at 5 o'clock discover that a full day's wage has been placed into their hands, those of us standing in the back of the line who've been working for 12 hours can rejoice with them and say, "I am so happy for you. Now you can provide for your family. Isn't this landowner great? I think I want to work for him full time."